Nefesh HaChaim is considered one of the classic Sforim of Hashkofa, and it's considered very pure Hashkofa, clean and pure. That's the description that's given of the work. Rav Chaim Volozhin himself had many writings. He wrote many writings, but this was the writing. These writings, much of his writings, weren't published in his lifetime, and even after his death, not that many. But this book, this is the work that he urged should be printed. He felt it was extremely important that this work should be printed. It was very dear to him. It was one of the commands that he commanded his son on his deathbed, that he should worry to print the Nefesh HaChaim. Now, it's brought here in the introduction. It's also brought in the notes here that the Gaon gave, the Vilna Gaon gave the Chaim Volozhin, was his student, one of his top students. He gave him a brocha that he should understand the moshel. The idea is that all of the Sifrei Kabbalah are considered, whatever the Sifrei Kabbalah, all the writings of the Arizal are considered all to be a moshel. It's not to be taken literally. It's very, very deep, but it's all a parable. It's a parable to describe something which is very complex. The creation is something very complex, and the simplification, we often, if we want to convey a certain idea, and it's difficult to convey it, we convey it with a story. So the Kabbalah is the story of the creation, and therefore it comes out that our understanding of the world without going into the Kabbalah is called the Nimshal of that Moshel. Right? And that's the bracha that the Rav Chaim Volozhin got from the Vilna Gaon, that he can teach the Moshel, and that he should teach them, the Nimshal. He should teach the Nimshal, meaning the subject of the parable. Now, just in terms of a little bit of history, Rav Chaim Volozhin, as we mentioned, was the major student of the Vilna Gaon. At the urging of the Vilna Gaon, he opened the Volozhin Yeshiva in Volozhin, and that was considered the mother of the yeshivas. It was open for quite a long time. Many students came from all over. And then at a certain point, because of political machinations of what was going on in Russia at the time, they were being forced to teach, to add to their curriculum, the Russian language. They were told by the government they have to teach the Russian language or they have to close down. So he chose to close. They chose it to close. It was already the later generations of Volozhin. It wasn't Rav Chaim himself. They chose to close the Volozhin of Yeshiva, and it was thought to be a tragedy at the time, but what happened was 5-6 other yeshivas sprung open as a result of that. And then you have the great yeshivas, the Mir Yeshiva, Ponovich tells, all the great yeshivas came as a result of the Volozhin Yeshiva closing down. Okay, to start the work, I'm going to start the work straight away. Now, you have in these texts, you have also the notes of Yitzhak Volozhin. That's Rav Chaim Volozhin's son. I'm going to skip those, because really what I'd like to do with this year is try to finish this entire work, if possible. Okay, and it's doable. I've done it myself. And so therefore, we're going to skip all the notes that you see from Rav Yitzchak. We're going to skip those notes. We're going to stick with Rav Chaim's text. Maybe on a further reading, it would be worthwhile to go into Rav Yitzchak's notes. Okay, so we're starting Shar Aleph. Right, there are altogether four Sharim to the whole Sefer, four sections. And Shar Aleph, Perik Aleph. Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Vivra Elokim es Odom Betzalmoy. It says, Hashem created man in his image. Betzalem Elokim Bova Oysa. In the image of Hashem, he created him. That's one Pasuk in Bereishis. Chapter 1, verse 27. The Kain Ksiv also in chapter 9. Kibetzelem Elokim Osa Es Odom. So we have another pasuk that, and this is famous, it's well known, that man is created in Betzelem Elokim. There's a whole big discussion. How can it be? Hashem doesn't have any type of dmus. Hashem doesn't have any type of appearance. How can we be the appearance of Hashem? Just basically what the Mephoshim say, just on the, without, before we go into what he says, Betzelem is the image of Hashem, and so to speak, the resemblance of Hashem, the way he looks, which would mean, for us, since we can't see Hashem, the way Hashem would look would be from what his world. You would see his world, and therefore through his world you would see him. As if you don't know the architect of a building, but you know his building, So you can see his genius through his building. So that gives you an idea of the man who designed the building. So the same thing, through the world, through looking at the world, you see something of Hashem. And man is considered in the tzelem of Elohim. He's also in the image of the world. They're just like the world, the entire creation is composed of the material component and the spiritual component, right? There's the spiritual and the material. So man is in the tzelem Elohim in that he contains within himself both the material, the physical and the spiritual. Right? That's one of the aspects in which he resembles Hashem. Also, we know that the world is called the great man, and we also know that man is called the small world. So therefore, that's also part of the pshat of tzelem Elohim, that he somehow embodies and symbolizes the entire creation. The entire creation is for man, and ultimately we see for Yisrael, and therefore he is the world. Man himself is the world, or the Yisrael himself, the Yid himself is the world. However, let's just go with what Rav Chaim is going to say. The depth of the inner understanding of the concept of tzelem, and it was beyond the pshat, the deeper concept, who be dvorim ha'oimdim berumo yishel oilom, or matters which stand at the very heights of the world. Now, this is the secrets of secrets of secrets have to do with the concept of Tzelem Elohim. Right? That image is to do with the entire creation. It's all got to do with that Tzelem. U'koylel roev sisrei p'nimios ha-Zoyah, and most of the secrets, of the inner secrets of the Zoyah, are around the concept of Tzelem. Because most of what the Zoyah deals with, in terms of its deepest ideas, is the concept of Tzelem, Tzelem Elohim. Amnam kan, however, here, and this is just our introduction to the work. We're going to define the word tzelem in the way of those who say pshat, the rishonim. Right? Often when we learn a Gemara, we learn a Chazal, so we look at the rishonim and they give us pshat. This is what it means. This is the simple understanding of the reading without going into the depths. So he says he wants to give us the definition of tzelem as like the rishonim give pshat. Al posuk nase adam betzalmenu kidmusenu. Okay, so what is the pshat he's going to tell us? And that is as follows. Hu ki milas tzelem udmus kan. We have the concept tzelem, we have the concept dmus. That's another term that's used. Betzalmenu kidmusenu. Rashi says...
What is tzelem? Image.
Image, an image or form.
Image of Elohim.
Image of Hashem.
Okay. Of Hashem, okay.
Right. And dmus means likeness. So Rashi says that dvus means like Rashi says it means to lahaskil, lahavin lahaskil, that he's able to understand and to think intelligently, to think, to create with his thought, creative thought, intelligent thought, creative thought. So, however, the words tzelem and dvus kan eno bekemashmo, right, it should not be taken as it sounds. Ki kosov refurish, as the apostle Mishayahu, it says, umad mus tachuloi. Firstly, like we said before, we can't take it literally, because as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, what sort of likeness could you imagine yourself having to Hashem? There's nothing that can compare to Hashem. Hashem himself is beyond all image. Hashem has no image. So therefore, what possible likeness could there be to Hashem? It must not be taken literally that we are like Hashem. He looks like us. He's got a nose. He's got ears. He looks like us somehow. But even as a spiritual form, that cannot be, and that's the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. How could you possibly imagine Hashem? For that means a comparison, a partial comparison. We are like Hashem in a certain aspect. And it's a very important aspect. And that's why we called the likeness of Hashem. Because we are like Him in a certain aspect, which we're going to see exactly what that aspect is in a minute. And as a proof for the pshat, he's saying that we are like Hashem in a certain aspect, he brings a pasuk from Tehillim. And then David HaMelech says, I resembled a kas midva. Kas midva is a certain bird that frequents the deserts. It's like a desert bird. It must be some sort of a crow or something like that. Some wild bird that lives in the desert. So David HaMelech said, Demisi, I was like this crow of the desert, this bird of the desert. Now, says Rav Chaim, Kilo nase lo knafayim v'chatum, that doesn't mean that David HaMelech suddenly sprouted wings, or that suddenly had a beak. Maybe he had a Jewish nose, but he didn't have a beak, right? He certainly didn't have a beak like a bird. So therefore, David HaMelech doesn't mean, when he says, I was like the bird of the desert, he doesn't mean that he had wings or a beak. The nishtane tzuros ha'letzuras ha'kas, his image did not change, that he looked like a bird. Rakshanidne oz, The mikra pulois of Shayanavanat. He resembled this bird because he was a wanderer, like the bird wanders. Right? This bird is a wandering bird. It doesn't have a nest. It doesn't have a home. It's one time here and it's one time there, and it's never settled. So when he said, "I'm like this bird," he meant that he was very unsettled. He couldn't have a permanent home. He couldn't find a permanent space to be. He felt very unsettled in terms of his existence in this world, and therefore he said, "I'm like this bird." So we understand it means not physically like the bird, but it means he had some sort of resemblance. And in this case, it was that just like this bird is a wandering bird, so he was a wandering, he felt himself to be a wandering Jew. He felt that he was not, didn't have anchors in this world. He wasn't settled in this world. This itself is maybe something to think about. What does it mean that he wasn't settled? What is it? He was king of Israel. He probably lived in a palace. What's not settled about that? So it must be something to do with his life, the way he lived his life, right, the way he needed to live his life, that he felt that there was no solidity, it was always in flux. And that's an idea we can think about for ourselves also, that we're always in flux, things are always changing, and we're never permanent. We never say, "Oh, this is my life. My life is now like a rail, like a train on a track, a rail track. It just goes and follows the track. It's all worked out. It's all planned. It just follows exactly according to plan." That's an idea to think about. But let's just go back to our main idea. So therefore, when he says he was like this bird, he was like it in a certain aspect. That this is a lone bird. It doesn't live with the families of birds, and it flies from place to place. So that's how we would say pshat also in Tzelem Elokim. We are like Hashem in a certain aspect, which we're going to see in a minute. So the word tselem also similar to dmus. We are like Hashem in a certain aspect. These two words are quite similar. Okay, and that takes us into chapter 2. Amnam lahev halavin inyan omru b'tselem elokim daika. So, how do we start? In terms of what aspect are we like Hashem? So to understand the idea of being Tzelem Elohim, like specifically it says Tzelem Elohim, v'lo shem acher. When it says we were the likeness of Hashem, it uses the name Elohim, and specifically that name and no other name. Ki shem Elohim yadua perushoi. Elohim we know means hu moirish hu yisbor shmoi bala kriches kulom. The name Elohim means he is master of all forces. He controls all forces that run through this world, all the different forces, right? Whether it's gravity or whether it's electricity or solar power, whatever, all the different forces, all the different strengths, right? Different moods, people have different strengths, or the forces of the winds and fire, etc. All the different forces in the world. Hashem is the master of all forces. All forces that exist in this world, all forces that operate in this world, he's the source and the master. He's the master and source of all the forces. Right. And we see contradictory forces. This is an example that Chazal bring, is the wind blows, that's a certain force, but then the mountain stands in the way of the world. So Hashem created the wind and created the mountain, but they oppose each other, because the wind wants to go straight through the mountain, and the mountain stands and says, "You're not going through me." The mountain says to the wind, "You're not going through me." So the wind has to go around the mountain. So you have these two opposing forces. And you have different forces that operate. Right? Even, I think, the atoms also have the different forces that are in contrast to each other. And they sort of, so to speak, fight each other. That's what creates that activity. There's an activity because there are opposing forces in this world. So Hashem is master of all forces. Like the Torah says. In other words, this is lamaisa. This definition is something we should be using for halacha, because the halacha says that when you say the name Elohim in your davening, you say the name Elohim, you should think Takif, he's the powerful one, Bala Koiches Kulam, master of all forces. So when we say man is Betzelem, it's specifically Elohim. Let's see what we're going to do with that. The Indian Mashu is Bog Nikra Bal HaKoiches. The idea that Hashem is called the master of all forces. Now he's going to explain that to us now with a beautiful analogy. The attributes of flesh and blood are unlike the attributes of Hashem. A person, when he would build a building out of, let's say, wood, in those days wood was the common material. I mean, in the States also nowadays many, many houses are built with wood as the basis. So, when, let's say a person builds a house from wood, the builder who builds does not produce the wood. He doesn't produce the wood. He buys wood from the forests or from the wood choppers, whoever it is. He buys the wood that's already created. He doesn't create the wood. He buys wood on the sadrim bevinyan, and then he arranges the wood into the shape of a house. Right? He makes planks and he puts the planks together, and he has the frame of the house and he has the roof, etc. He makes the house from wood that he's purchased. And after he's arranged all of the planks the way he wants them, so then even though his own force, his own work, his own labor, his own toil is already removed, the builder, once he builds the house, walks away from it. He walks away from it. He doesn't need to, once it's built, he doesn't have to build it anymore. So he walks away from the house. In Kolzea, Binyan Kaim, the house continues to stand. For years and years and years, the house will continue to stand, even though the builder's not there anymore. Okay, Aval. Now, in contrast to that analogy, Hu Yisbor Shmoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kmo Ba'ez Briyas Ha'ilom Eskulam, just like at the time of creating all of the worlds, Barom Emitziyam Hu Yisbor Yesh Mi'ayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds something from nothing. Something from nothing. That which comes from nothing. B'koichei HaBilti Tachlis, with His own force, which is endless. Hashem has endless force. He doesn't use up his force, but like a battery that runs out eventually, or a person who suddenly loses his energy, maybe drops down dead. Kodesh Baruch Hu's energy, force, which is endless. So Kodesh Baruch Hu creates yesh, something, mi'ayin, from nothing. All of the worlds, right? We'll mean spiritual worlds and physical worlds, their upper worlds and lower worlds. So all of the worlds are created yesh, mi'ayin.
We do know nothing yet. We don't know nothing yet. Nobody knows of nothing yet.
Nothing is nothing. Nothing is the absence of something. I'll tell you an example you can think of, which is not really a full example, but it's a partial example of something from nothing, is that if you think of a certain idea, so you didn't have that idea before, and you imagine something, you think of an idea. So that's something, it's in a sense, it's something from nothing. Now if you can hold that idea, right, so while you're holding it, it's there. You've created an idea. You're now focusing on the idea, and the idea is now in your head. And you see the idea. You have a picture in your head. As long as you're holding it, it's now in existence. You've created it in your imagination. So in your imagination, it lives. But the minute you are distracted or you start thinking about something else, it'll disappear. So that would be an example. It's somewhat like something from nothing. An idea that comes into your head is something from nothing. Aval hu yisbor shmoy. Like at the time when he created all of the worlds, he created and produced them from nothing. Something from nothing.
Ex nihilo.
With his endless power, ki me'az, kol yoim v'chol rega mamish, and from that moment that he created it, every single moment, kol koyach metziusam v'sidram v'kiyumam, all of their reality and the way they're arranged, right, the arrangement of the world, the forests, the hills, the mountains, the rivers, the entire arrangement of the world, the way we see the world, person builds a building and it stands, etc. The entire reality, the order, and the ability to perpetuate, the kiyum means it continues to, it lives on. All of that toli rak b'mash hu yisbor shmoi mashpia behem b'ritzoi yisbor kol rega. It's all dependent on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours energy, pours his desire into them every moment. Koyach b'shifas ol chodesh. A force and an outpouring of light, so to speak. We're using light as an image of energy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, generates the energy, which means that the world will perpetuate. So in other words, when the builder built that house with the bricks, with the wood, It was Hashem's wood, which Hashem is bringing into existence every single moment, and it perpetuates because of the wood which Hashem has created. The builder is a partner with Hashem, and he uses the wood that Hashem gave him, but Hashem is keeping the house standing, because Hashem has created the wood from nothing, just like he creates the entire world from nothing, every single moment. Right, and this is something we understand nowadays clearly, because we say that all matter comes from energy, and we understand that energy needs a source. Energy doesn't, it's not self-perpetuating. Energy doesn't, right, if you roll a ball, it doesn't roll forever. Right, eventually it stops, right, the force of your push will eventually be used up, and the ball will come to a halt. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu generates energy, continues, and that's why the world continues to exist constantly.
So the Yashma'an continues beyond the Ma'aseh Bereishis.
Correct. Every single moment. Every single moment. Right. I'm going to see that in a minute from Psukim also. I think the analogy we can best understand is those old movie projectors, right? You're watching a movie and suddenly the electricity, someone pulls the cord out of the plug. So that's the end, right? Suddenly the whole picture disappears and the whole story disappears and it's nothing, right? It's like nothing happened. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would stop wanting the world into existence, so in a second it would just be zero. There'd be nothing. Just like someone pulled the plug on the movie projector, there'd be nothing. So that would be a way to describe this.
But it's already yesh. While all the time the film is playing, it's a
yesh that comes from an iron, and that he is the one who makes yesh mi iron. He is the source of energy. He is the force. He is the light. The Shbuch is the light, which is the energy. So let's see it in the text inside. Right. So he says here, the last sentence in that third paragraph. The iluhay who is Bog Masalik men koy hashbos af rega echad. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove his force and his influence, even for a single moment, kerega yukulam le'efes v'to, in a second everything would be nothing. It wouldn't even last a second. Because there's nothing besides the will of Hashem. If the will would stop, everything would stop. There's no, right? You pull the plug out, so there's still a little bit of movement, a little bit of juice left in the engine. Right? There's nothing. There would be absolutely nothing, because everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is illustrated in the Siddur, which the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they formulate in our daily Siddur, right, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah was from the beginning of the Second Temple period. So they said, in the Birkas Yotzer, they said, we have to say, Amechadesh Betuv V'chol Yom Tomid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu innovates every day continuously, and not just once a day, it's throughout the day. Throughout the day, Ma'aseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly regenerates, reforms the world constantly. Hainu Tomid Mamish, continuously, constantly Mamish, literally, Kol Eis V'Rega, at every moment. V'Rayasa Mufurash Kamur. And he also brings a posuk. Where did they get it from? They got it from a posuk in Tehillim that says, "Le'oisei, oisei oyim gedolim." The posuk says, right? We say on Shabbos, yeah, "Le'oisei oyim gedolim ki lo ilom chastoi." Hashem makes great luminaries, great lights. So it says Rav Chaim, "Shelo ama osa Hashem who made great light." It says one who makes great lights. The Kodesh Baruch Hu makes great lights. I mean, In the present, constantly and in the present. As I said before, I'm skipping the notes. Rezer Shedikra, who is Bo Shmoy HaElokim. And that's the name Elokim. Baal HaKoiches Kulam, he is the master of all forces. And as there's a force which means that the world perpetuates, it keeps the houses standing and the earth under our feet and everything, that everything should continue to be. So he is the force, he is the master of all forces which creates all being. All being is from his force. Right? Ba'al HaKoiches Kulam. Shekol Koyach Prati HaNimtza Bo Ilomis. Every force in the world which we find throughout the worlds, that spiritual worlds as well as physical worlds, all the angels, all the different halls, all the different worlds, the upper worlds, the spheres, etc., all of the different forces, they all have a force which brings them into existence, and it all starts with Hashem. So for instance, this table, right? is a force also. There's electrons that are keeping it together, right? This piece of wood and the metal legs. It's all being kept together. There's a force. The table itself is a force, which allows it to continue to be a table. It doesn't disappear. It continues to start to be here. If we come back in an hour's time, this table is still going to be here. So all of that force is from the one who initiates the force. Hashem is the force of the table. He is the force of the walls. He is the force of everything that we have around us, of our own bodies and our souls and our thoughts. Everything is absolutely initiated and perpetuated by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shekol Kohev Prati Aninza B'chol HaRilomas HaKol Hu Yizboruch Shemoi HaBaal HaKohev Shemoi. He is the master of their force. The force that they continue to exist, He is their master. Shemashpia Behem HaKoyach Gvura Kol Rega. He gives the energy, He gives the might every single moment. Every single moment. V'tluim V'yodo Yitomid. It's in His hands continuously. L'shanoisim V'sadam. To change it, to rearrange it. He's reinventing it every moment. So really, there's no reason for this bare glass is standing over here. And next second, a new creation. It could be in the new creation. He'll put them over here. Right? Why not? He's creating it anew. He happens to create it like He created it in the same way a second ago. But it could be elsewhere. It could be that it's here now. And the next second, it's in Hong Kong. Hashem's not limited anyway. He created it in the same pattern, but He's creating it every single second. He's barking, change it as He desires. Purely His wish. He wishes it to be, and it is. And that takes us to the third chapter. Okay, moving along. Came the demon ze, Kaviyachu Bohu Yisborchis Odom, Veshlite Al Ribe Rivan Koichus Rilomis Ein Misfa. Right, now we come to the main point that we wanted. Right, we said man is Betzelem, in the image of Hashem. He has a likeness to Hashem, and the name Elohim means He's the master of all forces, which brings all into existence, and man has a likeness to that quality. So let's see what he says. V'chein b'dimi hazeh dmus tzelem, in this image kaviyochel boru yisboch esha odom, that which with that special quality that He created man. And He gave man rulership, mastery of tens of thousands of tens of thousands of different forces and worlds without number. Man is in charge. The individual man, each one of us, is in charge of millions of worlds. Millions and millions of worlds, countless worlds. Each one of us has mastery over millions of worlds. That's how we are like Hashem. We'll still see what it means. We'll still see what we're supposed to do with that. But that's how He's explained the pshat. Umesorim biyodi, He's handed it over to man. He created it with this power, which is similar to Hashem's power, and He's handed it over to man. Sheyehu hamedabe hamanig oisom, that He should be the leader and the captain. He's the navigator. That man is the navigator of all of these worlds. Man himself he's the captain, he's in charge. And that is through all of the details, all of the actions of all of his deeds. Because when we do deeds, right, there are all sorts of details involved. Even a person does a simple act, right? Say he puts on tefillin, right? So there's all the different movements, just physically speaking. We're not speaking spiritually yet, but physically speaking, all the movement, the coordination of all the different elements, all the bones in your fingers are all moving together, the muscles that control the bones and the skin that holds all together. There's millions of details that go into even the smallest movements. We don't even bother to analyze it. We don't even think about it. But a person drives a car. He does 101 things, right? He's looking here and he's looking there and he's thinking this and he's right. So there's all the details of the movements of a person. Now what's going to count, obviously, is not the physical movements of a person, but his own spiritual movements, his thoughts, his words, and his intentions. All of that is going to make a huge difference. But it's man through the details of his movements, of his actions, the diburov, his words he speaks, umachshavoysov, and his thoughts. Our thoughts are a force. The kol sidra hanogosov, and all of his ways of conducting himself. Right? A person has a certain pattern of behavior, he has certain habits that he's acquired. Right? Through doing something a number of times, it becomes a habit, a certain character. Right? We develop our characters, we grow, and therefore all of this affects the entire, all the words, hey, the tzevel, hefech, has v'sholem. So this can be positive or negative. Now, what's going on with us is affecting the entire universe, the entire creation, not the physical universe, the spiritual and physical universe. A person with his deeds, words and thoughts which are positive, good deeds and good words and good thoughts, he gives strength and force and power to a number of powers and forces of upper worlds, upper holy worlds. He's going to add to upper worlds, upper spiritual worlds. He adds to them holiness through his actions and his thoughts, etc. And he adds to them light. Light being energy, light being force. Forcefulness, ability to do. And we have a pasuk, Kamosha Kosov, the Osim Dvorai Beficho, I've placed my words in your mouth. Hashem says to the prophet, I've placed my words in your mouth. I'm giving you the power of speech, which is one of my powers. I'm giving you the power to do, to think, to plan, to intend. Limtoy Shemaim Lisidor is that you should be planting the heavens and you should be founding the earth. The running of the world is dependent on us. And like the sages say, Gemara in Brochus, and we say it also in the davening, we say it every Shabbos, Al tikre bonaich, ele bonaich. It speaks about the Jewish people. He says, don't call them your sons, but rather call them your builders.
They're talking physically and spiritually.
Spiritually and, yeah, physically, more importantly, spiritually. Physically is very, our physical ability to build is very limited. How much can you build? How much strength do you have? But our spiritual ability is endless. So therefore it says about the Jewish people, it says, don't call them your sons, but call them your builders. Because we are the ones who build the world. We with our actions and thoughts, etc., arrange the world. The world actually, we sort of pull them into line. We pull them in different directions, in different orders through our actions. Just like a builder arranges the building materials in one way or another way, he attaches fixtures, he puts the bricks together, he puts the wooden posts together, he arranges everything, all of the different building materials, he puts it all together to make a house. So in the same way, with our actions, we put together the entire world. And let's just try and do one more paragraph. And the opposite is also true. So in a positive sense, a person can contribute to the world and give strength to the world. And the opposite is also true, Chas v'Shalom, Al Yedei Ma'aseiv V'Diburiv Machshavim Asher Lo Tovim. So a person's actions, words, and thoughts that are not positive, that are negative, through bad speech and bad actions and bad thoughts, who Mahares Rachmon Letzan Kama Koichus, he destroys, Hashem should save us, numbers of forces. Positive forces that are available to bestow benefit on us, to bring us prosperity, to bring us affluence, bring us all that we need. A person with negative thoughts, negative speech, destroys those forces. Those forces that are ready to bring us Shefa, he can destroy them. And he breaks them. He spoils, he can destroy upper worlds, upper universes, and holy universes. There ain't erech ishiu without measure. Without measure or without any way of measuring. In other words, it's almost like an endless type of force. Kamosha Nema, again, he brings a posuk. Again, a posuk from Yeshayahu. Ma'asaych u'machivaych mimecho yeitzu. Your destroyers and your enemies, those who destroyed you, who demolished you, your demolishers and your destroyers, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Hashem says to the Jewish people, your destroyers and your demolishers, Mimcho Yetzer, they came out of you. Right? They came out of you. You caused, right? When the Jewish people suffers, all sorts of tragedies. So Hashem says, those tragedies, you are the author of those tragedies. When things go wrong, when things go bad, things turn south for the Jewish people. So the Pasuk says, we are the ones, they came out of us. We are the instigators of those negative forces. Or Machshik, we're the ones who bring darkness. Or Maktim, Oyram, Kedushas, and we're the ones who diminish the light and their holiness, Chas v'Shalom. Moisiv Koyach Leubazeh, B'Meduris Hatuma. And we add force to the chambers of contamination. Right? The world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. Zel Umat Zeh, there's the worlds of Kedusha and there's the worlds of Tuma. and they're in balance, and we give power to one world over the other world, and it can create destruction. Or as we said before, if we use it in the positive sense, then we add strength, we add koyach, we add kedusha, and that brings all types of yeshua and brocha and panosa and shefa into the world through our good actions, our good thoughts, and our good speech.